And now, John Gambling with the mayor of the greatest city in the world, Michael Bloomberg. Sponsored by the Heart Institute of Staten Island. Don't let your heart skip a beat.
Johnny Donovan, yes, indeed. Our heart's skipping a beat here because it's a beautiful, long Memorial Day weekend. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Weather great today. Hot. Mid-90s today.
I know.
Hot tomorrow. Maybe a little bit easier on Sunday and Monday. Parades on Sunday and Monday? You're going to march with me in all of them?
Not in all of them, no. Maybe march
two
at some point
two,
with you.
Two on
some
Sunday,
point
two on Monday.
Okay. Well, you know, Memorial Day is an important day that unfortunately has sort of morphed into something more than what it was.
Well, most people,
designed.
It's a three-day weekend. Yeah. I gave a
sales at stores and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday we had a celebration for Fleet Week at Gracie Mansion, a breakfast. And maybe 200 or 300 people, and which in the front row were the families of some of the young men and women who've given their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I said, you know, the kids love the parades, and it is fun, and we all like the cotton candy and the balloons and the bands and that sort of thing, and it's fun to wave, and nothing wrong with that. But there is a serious purpose. Memorial Day is to remember those who've given our lives. And I said, you know, the ability to protest the war or to praise it, whatever you want to do, is given to us by our young men and women who've been sacrificing since this country was born, and it looks like for the rest of who knows how long.
If humanity
doesn't change, yeah, it'll always be that way, and we always send the young over to do it. And, you know, what do you say to a parent or a spouse or a child, your loved one's not coming home? And there's a serious purpose. Having said that, people will enjoy themselves, and they should smile and have a good time. There are a whole bunch of ships in the harbor you could go visit, a lot of them over in Staten Island. Go over, and you can go on board. And the
I'm sure when you were growing up in Medford, in Massachusetts, in Boston, like I remember on Long Island, in my hometown of Manhasset, Long Island, and now in the village that I live in, there are Memorial Day parades, and you've got the Cub Scouts and the Girl Scouts. But the point is that everybody forms in a field usually someplace where someone reads something and does a memorial.
I remember we would go Oak Grove Cemetery, which is literally across the street from where I lived. Down a block down in Oak Grove Cemetery was where the military part of the cemetery was. And as Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, we'd go and put American flags by each grave. And they would play taps, and we'd march in. And it was very serious.
It was serious. And I look at it now as an adult and remember my time there. And I see the kids there. And it's moving for all the right reasons.
Yeah, I don't remember. Well, Medford's a small town, 70-odd thousand people then, probably pretty much the same today. And they must have had the high school band, but it wasn't a stage thing today.
Correct.
You know, the CYO and the Elks, and everybody comes, and there are all these different groups, and somebody runs it, and they plan it for a year. It wasn't like that when you and I grew up, and it was much more serious.
And so, anyway, this weekend, I remember there's a
corner about a mile from where I live, one of these traffic circles, and there's a memorial there to a guy killed in World War II, and I went to school with his daughters. I can't remember the name. You know, I was born in 42. His daughters, the youngest one probably was my age, so he died, you know, 43, 44, but already had the child, and I was friendly with the kids. I can't remember the name, whatever
and
happened
it brings,
to him.
Brings it all close to home. It really does, which is what it's supposed to be doing. You know what I'd like to do here? Let's take a break real fast, and then we'll get into some nuts and bolts here of the past week and the coming week ahead. Stick around, Mr. Mayor, coming right back at 77 WABC.
77 WABC.
Friday here at 77 WABC, John Gambling, Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Let's talk about the front page story this morning, blocking the box. You would like the traffic agents to be able to just jot down license plates numbers?
You know, people think it's a change. How do you think that the traffic agent gives you a parking ticket?
Well, but the car is standing there. Well, that's true. They
all
look
they
the
do
VIN
is
num- they look at the VIN number, though, right? Don't they write all that stuff down?
No,
about
in today's technology, all they do is they enter the license plate in a little handheld device.
Okay.
And that's what they're going to do.
And off it goes.
And off it goes. Now, here's the insanity to show you how crazy life is. If you get into the middle of a the box,
mm-hmm.
and you get stuck.
It's happened to me long ago.
And you block the traffic in four directions, arguably, or something like that, and it backs up in all four directions to two or three blocks. They call that a moving violation. The whole idea is that everything has stopped. It's not a moving violation. The law for a moving violation is they got to pull you over the side, for all I know, take you out of the car, go through your license plate, your registration, enter a whole bunch of numbers, while in the meantime, you've stopped traffic again because now you've got a cop's car, or maybe just this car, but at least one car, blocking traffic. The other way around, the tech agent just types in the number, end of story. Do you know how much traffic you would save when you drive in this city? That's what causes most of the traffic jams.
Not to argue with you, but to discuss this, the situation that happens.
What is the difference between those two? Well, the difference is when you agree with me, it's a discussion.
Well, that's true, and I guess when I disagree with you, it's an argument. Usually, there is an issue, a traffic issue up the block that backs the block up like a double parked truck.
Let's assume that's the case.
That was the case when it happened to me.
Okay,
and I argued with the this goes back years though with the traffic agent. I said the only reason I got the traffic was moving and it stopped. And
I will grant you that that is the case, that every once in a while something up the block stops. You are going across the intersection where you have reasonable expectation to get across and to get out of the box, and you get stuck
in it. And you're stuck.
So your answer is, well, hell with it. We'll just let everybody stop in boxes, and they'll always be able to say that.
No, my suggestion was to the traffic agent, if she wanted to give me a ticket.
You're going to tell me the nice things.
If she was going to give me the ticket, fine, but go give the truck that's double parked.
I couldn't agree more.
Don't just pick on me.
I couldn't agree more.
So anyway, that's...
she shouldn't just pick on you. But it's not a moving violation. And the rules for non-moving violations for that block truck, that double park truck, or somebody parking in front of a fire hydrant or anything else, is they just enter the number. Here, they have to create a worse situation by pulling you over, thereby having another stopped car to block.
Did I hear correctly that you've got to do this, you have to go to Albany?
Oh, yeah, we have to go to Albany with everything.
You can't just change the rule.
You cannot just change the rule. But this, if you stop that, you would stop a lot of the traffic jams in this city. There's a very big number of them, because if you get stuck in the box, you hold up traffic in two or four directions, and that easily cascades into one, two, three blocks in every direction.
And if there's an emergency vehicle that needs to get through, I understand.
This is life-saving. Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, this is, yeah. It's common
And then, of
sense.
Course, one guy writes in one of the stories in the press who just can't get it right. He's just not the brightest light in the chandelier, as we would say, that he thinks there's something different. We do this all the time, and he's, it's terrible, the ticket. You know, you don't have to get the ticket. You do have to get an emergency vehicle through. Let's think about your kids breathing the air.
Absolutely.
I mean, we got to do something about this. We can't sit here and find fault with everything. We got to do something about it. Kids are going to the hospital for asthma in parts of the city at four times the national.
What's the information you're getting back from Albany on congestion pricing?
Working with them, I've had long talks with the governor, who I think understands the issue, and my hope is that he and the leadership in the legislature will understand this is the ways we're going to fund mass transit. We need monies to extend the Second Avenue subway all the way down. We need monies to help the MTA with some budget problems they're going to have down the road. We need monies to have bus rapid transit and bus lanes for exclusives that will get buses through quickly, and ferries, and all of that is. It's the economics of this of our city for the future. You can't come into the Central Business District now. It takes so long. You can't schedule an appointment. You don't know when you're going to get there. The kids are breathing this air. And people say, it's a tax. It isn't a tax. It is simply allocating the resources. And in the end, the truck driver who has to pay a little bit of a fee, he's better off because he can make a lot more deliveries. The stores that say, people have to come to pay to come here. Yeah, but at least they can come to get there. And all the monies will go into mass transit. That's the thing. All of the monies will go to improve mass transit. And we don't have these monies. We have a chance to get $400 or $500 million from the federal government if we act before June 21st or thereabouts.
That's 3 weeks,
right.
4 weeks away.
If not, this $1.1 or $1.4 billion trust fund, it's going to be given out, and we won't get any of it. And that's the money that would pay for the mass transit. I've said we'll improve mass transit before we start charging. We got to have the money from someplace. Here's the federal government trying to give us money, and we just got to pass a law before then. So my hope is that everybody will pull together
here. What
about
the charges of city employees with parking permits?
I think it's wrong, and I'm going to address the issue. You know, that's a separate issue, but city employees should not have any benefits that the private sector doesn't have. We all are, you know, citizens and taxpayers or employees here in this city. There are some people who have a need to pull their car up, jump out, and go inside quickly. Let's say a police officer or a fire truck.
No one's going to argue
Nobody's,
with that.
No, okay, but that's an extreme case, but it's a good example. There is a reason why you let a police car pull up and double park or a fire truck double park. On the other hand, if you are going and you say, I've got an important meeting, I work as an administrative job or something, I'm sorry. The people in the private sector have the same need to get to their meetings and the same problems in paying for parking and everything else, and the rules should be to everybody. And there's no question that the parking permits, these placards, there's been an abuse. And unfortunately, if it was just the city, it would be easy. But there are state and federal agencies that give out placards as well.
And diplomats?
Diplomats, the funny thing is that my sister, believe it or not, solved that problem. The number of diplomats that don't pay their parking tickets is negligible. That's all gone. The number of diplomats that park in fire zones, I'm sure somebody's going to call in and say, I saw one. But fundamentally, it's all gone because now we tow their cars and we take away their license plates. And for the last couple of years, we've solved that. There still is an issue that's winding its way through the courts. I forget where it is, where a country that owns a piece of property that they're renting out for revenue, they say they shouldn't pay taxes on it. That's bull. They should be paying taxes. If it's their consulate or their embassy, we agree, no taxes, because they don't tax us overseas. But this is a profit-making venture that I just described, and they should not be let off the hook with that. But in terms of traffic violations, the days when the diplomats were the bad guys are long gone. Today, the bad guys are us, you and me.
And you're going to do something about it?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Let's see here. I don't know. The police, pricing, cops, policing. The stories this week. Kelly says, if I don't get more cops, I gotta scale back.
Well, we have a very serious issue. The number of police people who've applied for the jobs has declined. It may be the starting salaries that came out of a terrible arbitration a couple of years ago. It may be the economy, that there are other things that are attractive. It may be that a lot of people who we would normally be able to attract have joined the military and are overseas. I mean, a variety of issues. Clearly, low pay is one of them, and we're trying to fix that. We've made a number of proposals to the PBA to try to get them to negotiate and rectify that. And I've always thought, I've said it 1,000 times, that you do better by negotiating face-to-face. But the one thing we cannot do and will never do is this city for 100-plus years has always had a relationship between the different unions as to how they get paid. They can get more money if they change some work rules or work longer hours, but fundamentally there is this pattern. Some people say, oh, it's pattern bargaining is not a good idea. I'm not so sure that it's not a good idea, but regardless, it has been the policy in this city for 100-plus years. It is not going to change. Any mayor that changed it would be run out of town on the rail because every other contract would have to be reopened. It would be a nightmare. It's not going to happen, and the police commissioner wants to get as much for the so that he can recruit. I'm 100% sympathetic with that, and we are trying to do that, but consistent with the pattern, that's the way it's going to be. And I hope, you know, the union has been through a election, or at least I think the slate of candidates have been picked and they're going to run unopposed. I don't know if they've had their election yet. So that's no longer an issue. We've been trying to get to arbitration because the union had wanted to go to arbitration. They've slowed it down, but we've gotten some court rulings that said you got to press ahead. Look, I'm always optimistic, and I think in the end there is the opportunity for the PBA to really do a very good deal for their members. To get them a
very big... Are New Yorkers going to suffer from this low starting salary recruiting situation in the near future?
In the end, if it goes on forever, absolutely. The public safety is endangered if we don't get enough police officers. But, you know, we have to learn to live with whatever we do. That is why this was a terrible settlement for the city and a disaster also for the members of the union. And there's a ways to fix it, and I'm always optimistic that we will be able to fix it, and we're trying.
All right, and you're available whenever.
You can rest assured that I am available. I'll even drop out of one of the parades this weekend, or I'm giving a commencement speech tomorrow. I'll, in the middle of the speech to get a settlement, say, excuse me, everybody, I've got to go take a phone call. I'll get back to you.
PBA for just a second. Let me talk with George Weber on the half hour and Jim Paymar, then we'll get back to Mayor Michael Bloomberg. And you, 1-800-848-WABC, our call-in number, your questions at the end of the show. George?
All right, John.
77-WABC. We are here with Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Program at 77-WABC. Did I read something this week about Madison Square Garden moving and negotiations in play?
The development, what's called the Moynihan Station redevelopment. Moynihan Station, think of it as the old post office on 8th Avenue.
Beautiful.
With the
columns.
Gorgeous building, you know, neither rain nor snow nor gloom of night. The idea is in some combination to build a great Penn Station. We used to have one. It was knocked down. And have a very big development, which would include a new Madison Square Garden someplace over on the other side of behind the post office. Think of it between 8th and 9th,
right.
Sure. And then you'd build a new office building where the current Madison Square Garden is and all be tied together and have a rail link over to the west side to connect with the 7-line extension coming down the west side by the Javits Center. It's a very big deal. The governor is going to have to work very hard, and we will help him to get this done. It's, you know, fundamentally a state project. It's a lot, but there's a lot of different agencies. So the federal government's involved because Amtrak has rail lines coming in here. The city's involved. The state is involved. Private sector's involved.
Who owns the big building? Who owns the post office? The
Moynihan
building. Is that a state?
I think it might be an agency or a joint thing between city and state, but mm-hmm. Yeah, public.
Right.
Elliot's committed to this, and he's been working very hard on it already, and he's got some really good people assigned to it. So I'm hopeful. There are a number of developers who are interested. A couple of big ones have spearheaded it. Some own some of the property already, so they'd be the logical ones to do it. But a new Madison Square Garden would come out of that as well. And without that, it probably wouldn't work. But there's just so many moving pieces. We tried to get it going before, almost got there, didn't quite need state legislature, obviously, for a variety of different things. And that's one of those big things on the west side that will really give this city a great future.
I know you were not happy at all this week when the federal government sued over the exams for the fire department.
I talked to the attorney general a couple times on the phone. You know, you call him general.
I didn't know that.
That never occurred to me before. Yeah, I mean,
You had to figure it out. Do you call him attorney general? Or do you call him general?
Somebody said to me, well, the general will be on the phone in a minute. And it's sort of jarring. Generals, you think of the Army. That's what they call attorney generals. They call him general. He or his staff wants to sue the city. They threatened the city and said, unless we agree to a variety of things, they were going to sue us. And as far as I can see, we've done nothing wrong. Number one, I think I want to defend the city employees who tried to do the right thing in the past. I don't think the fire department ever deliberately tried to discriminate. Number two, we have since changed the test. We went out and we hired an outside professional firm to design a new test for the fire department to make absolutely sure that it wasn't discriminatory in any ways, that it just got us the best firefighters from any part of the city, any gender, whatever, any ethnicity. We want the best people we possibly have. My life depends on these men and women. And so the old test isn't even being used anymore. And they said, oh, no, wasn't acceptable. And I said, look, you know, I don't think we've done anything wrong. I think we're doing it right. I think it's a waste of the public's money to sue us over something that's really academic at this point.
What did the general say?
And we've worked very hard to recruit more people to take the test, minorities. And there's the number of minorities who took the test up dramatically. And some people said, oh, well, a lot of the people will score at the lower end. The results so far, they're not scoring. They're doing just like you and me. Everything's fine. And I said, you know, no, we're not going to say we did something wrong. And, you know, if you don't like it, he said, well, we'll sue you. I said, fine, see you in court.
The general told the mayor, we're going to sue you? I mean, that's it?
Yeah.
End of story? No
discussion?
Well,
he phrases it a little more delicately. They say, we will file suit.
Okay.
That's in
see
English.
In court.
See in court. That's what I said, see in court. I mean, you know, come on.
It costs everybody a lot of money.
Costs everybody a lot of money, but the city shouldn't roll over. We've done nothing wrong. And even if we did, it wasn't intentional, and I don't think we did. And even if we didn't, it wasn't intentional, we're not even doing it anymore. So, come on, let's get this is ridiculous.
Got a couple of big picture questions for you. Federal government, Congress, upped the minimum wage from $5.15 to $7.25 over 2 years. Good idea or bad?
Well, there's two issues. One, the city, from a city point of view, if the minimum wage is changed at a federal level, it keeps us competitively in the same position, so I'd much prefer that. Two, yeah, on balance, I think they should raise the minimum wage. Those that are working at the minimum wage are just, you can't possibly feed your family. And I don't know of any reputable economic study. Now, I know some conservatives are going to go crazy and their phones will light up, but there's no reputable economic study that says that it would hurt. And it does hurt the economy, and it does help. Businesses will be able to absorb it, and we just have to do something. We've had a minimum wage for a long time in this country. Hasn't been raised in a long time. I think it is appropriate to raise
gas prices on everybody's lips, and boy, I'll tell you, it gives you heart palpitations at the pump.
310, 315?
No, more than that. 335 out in the island for regular, and in the city even higher than that. I mean, what is your take on the rapidly rising price?
There has not been a new refinery built in this country in 30 years, I think. And some of the gasoline companies think that demand will go down as prices go up so that they don't want to make the long-term investment. Part of it is the high cost of crude. Barrel of oil is $65-odd.
But they're all blaming it on refining capabilities and supply and demand, too little supply, too much demand.
Yeah, there's oil companies, when the price of oil goes up dramatically, make more money because they all own oil in the ground. And so they get more oil when they pump their own oil. I don't know that refiners necessarily make more at higher prices. They make more when they can get more throughput through. You know, it's one of these easy issues. Every politician wants to run to the barricade.
Yeah, and start beating up on the oil companies, which I don't think is the issue here, really.
There's not a lot of evidence that there is. You know, there's a lot of things that keep going up in price, and we have to worry about inflation. And I'll give you a better number. Another way is to look at it. You want to cut your price of oil, of gasoline in half? Everybody says, oh, I'd love to do that. Between 1975 and 1985, thanks to a federal law that said the automobile companies have to produce more efficient fuel vehicles a little bit each year for 10 years, the average miles per gallon of cars in America went from, I think it was 14 miles a gallon or 12, I forget which, to 24. Since 85 when the law expired, it's done nothing. It's still at 24. Now, last time I did the math, in the last, it's 23 years, if you had had the same rate of improvement, we'd be up in the 40s or 50s miles per gallon. That would have done more to solve the problem than all the elected officials yelling and screaming and blaming a few companies. Let's do some. It's like this competitiveness stuff. Yes, we have some disadvantages. We have some advantages. Let's go out and make our products more competitive, and we can beat everybody in the rest of the world. America, know-how, American ingenuity, American workers are the greatest. But let's not go look for a legal solution. Let's let the market do it.
But the market didn't do it. It had the opportunity to do it. And the politicians didn't do it. They let that law expire. So everybody failed on that one.
Everybody failed. And the politicians say they did it to protect Detroit. Chrysler, General Motors, and Ford are basket cases. The Japanese companies, a lot of whom incidentally produce cars in the South in this country, and Korean companies in the South in this country, they're cleaning their clocks.
Exactly. So again, it's a failure. It's a failure of. We talked about this yesterday. There has not been in those 20 years that we're talking about an energy policy that has anything, any meat to it. whatsoever.
None whatsoever, because everybody, you know, they want to help farmers. So we are subsidizing corn ethanol at a point where it doesn't need it and driving up the price of food. At the same time, we put tariffs on sugar ethanol, which is much more efficient and would make more sense. And it's done to protect one group of Americans, farmers. I understand farmers. I'm not opposed to farmers. They need help. They want their share of the pie like everybody else. But we don't have a coordinated policy. We talk about wind, but not off my beach house. Come on. I mean, in Texas, they actually do a lot of wind power. We talk about we're not going to drill, but we don't have any place, you know, we're not willing to give up our dependence on oil. We talk about Iraq. You cannot talk about the war without talking about an energy policy for this country, because if you destabilize the whole Middle East, you know,
it's going to come and bite us, and you know what?
There's no question about it. We're just these feel-good. Nobody's willing to stand up.
All right. Let's take a break here. Final one, 1-800-848-WABC. If you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, it will be your turn coming up, 1-800-848-WABC. 77-WABC. It's your turn to ask the questions, 1-800-848-WABC. John Gambling, Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Let us go to line number one, Mike over in Hoboken. Hello, Michael. You've got the mayor.
How you doing, Mr. Mayor?
Good, sir.
My son passed the police test not once but twice. He passed it. He's a college graduate, and they called him three times. The reason he couldn't go on the police force is he had to live in New York. Now, I think you should change that archaic law you have about you have to be a New York resident.
We actually allow, you have to live in New York State, it's true. Tell your son he could live in Westchester or Rockland or Nassau or Suffolk counties and still qualify. He has to pay New York City taxes, but that's the agreement with the police, and I think fire gets the same thing. You cannot live in Connecticut or in New Jersey. And the argument, Mike, probably came from, you know, they wanted the tax base, and they want cops who you can argue when they're off duty are still available, because a lot of them do have a badge and a gun, and if they saw something and life-threatening, they could always step in. So people sort of like that idea. But it's... that's what the
rule
is.
Is that limiting at all? I mean, there's obviously a certain, obviously Mike
well,
is
Mike's
giving us
son,
evidence
yeah,
that there
I mean,
is.
I just think this, if he has the bug to be a cop, there's no better police department. I hope we'll come to a new agreement. Sometime we will here, and police will get even better paid. But, you know, if you're a police officer and you want to be with the best, there's no argument in this country or maybe even in this world. The NYPD sets the standard.
All right, Michael, tell your son good luck to him. 1-800-848-WABC. John in Brooklyn, what's your question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg?
Mayor, everybody complains about the trucks double parking and why there's no parking for the trucks. Have you ever ridden by through Midtown or 50th Street and noticed why there is no parking? All these limousines that sit and wait for their clients for hours, polishing their cars. Why are they not penalized?
John, you are 100% right. They are there. They are holding up traffic. I'm not sure there's any easy answer, because if they, hopefully they're sitting there with their motors turned off. If they keep driving around the block again and again, that's not a good idea either, because that's just going to create more traffic and also pollution. Anybody's got a brilliant idea, you can say, well, you know, don't let them show up if their client's not ready. Number one, the drivers can't do anything about it. Number two, that's the real world. That's their business.
We didn't talk about it, but you made the play this week to get the cabs green, higher mileage.
13,000 cabs will become hybrids over 5 years. The rules are that if you are a fleet or an individual, you either have every 3 or every 5 years, depending on what kind of the deal is, you have to replace your car. So the rules will now be you have to replace them with a hybrid. Actually, I think doesn't say hybrid. It just have to have the miles per gallon mm-hmm. so high that that's probably what you would buy. And it turns out that you save so much in gas, it pays for itself very quickly. Like the first year, the prices can be a little bit less or a little bit more. But even if you buy one with a little bit more, you get the savings, and that's a good deal for the drivers, good deal for the owners, and it's a very good deal for the public, because the equivalent of these 13,000 hybrids will reduce the emissions by as though you took 32,000 cars off the road. And it's like these new devices we're putting in cabs. The cab drivers got a fare raise about 2 years ago on condition they would put in this new technology. There's a handful of people saying, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, you like the fare rise. I mean, come on, that was the deal. That's what we're going to live with. But it lets the public pay with credit cards, for example. This day and age, a lot of people like to do that. And studies have shown that drivers get bigger tips.
I would think so.
Absolutely.
Don't they also have GPS?
And they have a GPS so you can see where you're going. And there's ads which help pay for it and a variety of things. Look, there's always something wrong. People can always find fault with any change. But, you know, that's the answer.
I'll tell you what, we've got less than 30 seconds okay. here. So let's not get another telephone call started because we won't be able to do it justice. Enjoy your weekend.
Memorial Day, very serious. Think about the men and women fighting and dying overseas first, no matter what you think about the war. And also make sure the kids have a good time and you can go out and have a good time.
And if you see a sailor on the streets of New York, say thank you very much.
Say thank you and no drinking and driving. And also it's going to be hot. Drink a lot of water.
All right. We'll see you next Friday. Mayor Michael Bloomberg here at 77 WABC. Stick around. One of the people that you will hear straight ahead, Chris Wallace.